Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Big Ticket Variety and iHeart's Movie Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Are you one of the gazillion people who went to see Hustlers this past weekend? Its first weekend box office totaled more than $32 million. That means it's Jennifer Lopez's biggest opening ever. And as listeners already know, Hustlers is one of my favorite movies of the year. So I'm happy to say that my guest this week is the film's writer and director, Loreen Scafaria. I caught up with Loreen the day before Hustlers world premiere earlier this month at the Toronto Film Festival. We talked the movie's Goodfellas comparisons, why Hustlers is unlike any other stripper movie you've seen before, and what happened when they needed 300 extras for J-Lo's sure-to-be-iconic pole dancing scene. I'll have that and a lot more from Loreen coming up after the break. Stick around. Now, here's Hustlers director and writer, Loreen Scafaria. How are you?
So, I'm Mark Malkin from Variety,
and I'm obsessed with the movie.
Thank you so much.
How much I love it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oh my God. It's so good.
Thank you so much.
So, I walk out of the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, this Scorsese vibes. It's like Goodfellas. And then I hear like, that was one of your inspirations. And I hear at one point they were talking, you know, they tried to get Scorsese. Like,
yeah.
It's so genius.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. That means so much to me.
It's just, it's so powerful. There's an emotional, like many emotions, but, you know, I think people might think, oh, it's going to be a stripper movie. It's going to be striptease. It's going to be burlesque. It's going to be any number of movies, showgirls.
Yeah.
But it is so not.
Thank you.
Why were you so passionate about directing? Directing movies.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, when I wrote the script, I felt like there was a perspective there that I was so excited to tell. Obviously, there's so many movies about strippers that don't really feel like they're right from their perspective or point of view, or there's scenes in strip clubs, obviously, that don't feel like they're from their point of view. So when I wrote the script, I mean, it was a writing assignment, but I knew immediately when I read the article that I wanted to direct it. There were just too many themes I wanted to talk about, and capitalism.
Tell me about some of those themes.
Oh, capitalism. money as it relates to gender. Gender as it relates to money. Mm. I was excited to explore this world that I thought we hadn't seen in a certain way. I was excited about the friendship story, that there is a sense of loneliness and isolation to the Destiny character until she meets Ramona. And
well,
then
I talked to Constance more about this, but I said, the movie is a lot about chosen family.
That's right.
It's really chosen. It's, you know, just because you're born into a family, that doesn't mean that they're going to be your family.
Yeah. That's why that Christmas scene was so important to me, because I felt like, well, maybe this is almost the first moment in the movie where maybe people realize that this is who they have. This is who they're spending Christmas with. They're with each other. Yeah.
So Jennifer Lopez, let's just get down to brass tacks.
Okay.
Her on the pole. I mean, I'm a gay guy, but, you know.
Yeah.
When you saw her get on that pole, you knew she obviously had been training.
Yeah.
Were you just, my mouth is on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, my mouth is on the floor still, probably, but I believe in the script I wrote, Ramona does one final flourish.
Is that what you're going for?
Yes. But if you're Jennifer Lopez, you're going to take that one final flourish and you're going to turn it into a routine. And so Todd Van Hazel, the DP, and I, we saw that routine only a couple of weeks before we shot it. So we were, you know, in the middle of filming. And when she showed us this routine, we were like, okay, we've got something here. And we wanted to treat it like a stunt and you know, have as many cameras going at once and keep the energy of that club alive. And we had 300 extras, you
300?
Know. Yeah, so we had like 250 men around that stage.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah.
So you do a call for extras.
Yes.
They show up on set.
Yes.
And you say, by the way, what you're about to watch is Jennifer Lopez pole dancing.
Yeah.
Where the men just...
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. I mean, what was so wonderful was it was the most respectful group of people that were able to bring that rowdy, raucous energy. Right. So it was somehow that electric and alive in the room, mm-hmm. and yet, you know, such a decent group of people. We certainly vetted all the men that any of the women had physical contact wow. with. We had 50. Oh, you know, he just talked to them and make sure they don't feel like a creep. But we had a stripper consultant who was a comfort consultant also, Jacqueline Francis, who goes by Jack the Stripper. She plays Jackie in the movie. Mm-hmm. But she was with me every day. And so any scene, champagne room, private area, on the floor, she was always a part of that. Wow. And we let the, of course, told our dancers, who a lot of them are strippers in real mm-hmm. life and some are not, but they are in control as they are in the club. But our girls pick the guys and not the other way yeah. around. So that's how we right. made our seating chart, let's say. And so
I love Constance told me that, and that you would talk about this often, how strippers are like athletes.
That's right.
And you're selling your body. You're selling yeah. the power of your body. It's just one is looked at completely different than the other.
Yeah.
And I love that analogy. Yeah. I never thought about it like
no,
that.
No, we wanted to treat it like a sports movie. I mean, the locker room is the locker room, mm-hmm. of course. And I had written in the script, you know, they're like football players leaving the tunnel, because it does feel like, you know, yes. to follow them out onto the floor, you got to psych yourself up for the big game, you know. Mm. And it is either a solo sport or a team sport, depending on, you know, you're how isolated and lonely you are, or how many friends you have. I mean, strippers do work in teams and in pairs a lot. And so, yeah, I mean, I wanted to show the athleticism of it. Certainly Jennifer's dance, but all of them, that it takes a lot of strength and mm-hmm. certainly, I mean, physical,
core,
incredible core. Yeah, something I don't have, core. But yeah, we wanted to really show the strength that it really is physical work. I don't think people think of women as blue collar or laborers, and or athletes in that way. And I just really wanted to showcase that.
Should pole dancing be an Olympic sport?
Ooh, great question. It's so elegant. It really is so elegant and beautiful. And mm-hmm. When I would go to the clubs and watch them dance, I was just marveling mm-hmm. at what they were capable of. I mean, the moves are extraordinary.
I mean, is it really that much different than doing the high beam and the...
I mean, good it's question.
Really
yeah.
the parallel the bars.
I know. I know. The horse. Yeah. No, I agree. It really is like a beautiful... It is. It's gymnastics. It yeah. really is, and it's acrobatic. It's like Cirque du Strip. You know, it's really like it requires so much strength. And Jennifer trained like crazy.
Let's talk
for
about
it.
Jennifer having yeah. a partner like that, a producer on a movie mm. like this, the star of the movie.
Yeah,
a lot of people probably would be intimidated by her.
Mm.
Were you intimidated when you first met her?
I mean, she's Jennifer Lopez, so you can't help but be intimidated just because it's like walking in, the sun is sitting in the living room. You know?
Most but, beautiful sun ever.
She is the most beautiful sun ever. But no, we were really partners in it. Mm. I'm one of those people who I get less nervous when the stakes get higher for some reason. I'm probably more nervous.
Come around to my house, please. When I wake up on a Monday morning.
Like ordering a pizza would probably make me more nervous. But yeah, no, it was just such a collaboration. And, you know, she's larger than life, mm-hmm. but so is Ramona. So in a lot of ways, she brought that Ramona energy to the set. And what was so great was that I felt like everyone was so right for their parts mm. that everyone was just reacting off of each other in that
right.
same way. So Ramona's the ringleader, and so Jennifer was the ringleader, and Kiki Palmer is, you know, so much fun to hang out with. And so, you know, seeing them hit it off, seeing Constance and Jennifer have that big sister, little sister relationship, like all of that was really very real. And I think my favorite part of the day would be bringing in a guy and you know, a day player or more. Obviously, there are some great actors in our movie as well, male actors in the movie as well. But sitting a guy on a bar stool and surrounding him with Constance and Jennifer and Kiki and Lily. And just,
did you just keep the camera rolling?
A lot of
during
times.
That because you just get that
yeah,
natural reaction.
A lot of times. I mean, I wanted to keep it as open as possible and certainly let them have room to play and ad lib mm-hmm. and talk over each other and make it feel real. They're all so gifted at all of that. And so, you know, to their credit, there was also a lot of it scripted, and obviously they're all playing roles, but to keep it open and fun, and especially when it's like group scenes like that.
Right now we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Laureen reveals details about casting Constance Wu, Lily Reinhart, and transparent actress Trace Lissette, so stick around. Here's more of Hustlers director and writer Laureen Scafaria.
Constance Wu.
Yeah.
Where did that casting come about? Did you think about her? Did Jennifer think about her? Did someone bring her to you and say, you know what?
No, I thought about her because I had never seen Fresh Off the Boat, really. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't as familiar with her. And I mean, I knew she was known for comedic roles right. at that point. And I saw Crazy Rich Asians and tears shot out of my eyes during a wedding scene, which I didn't mm-hmm. think was possible.
I got teary at the end on the plane.
Really?
With the ring.
She got me. So yeah. She put herself on tape to her credit because, you know, a lot of actors don't have to do that or want to do that. So she put herself on tape. I thought she was great. And then we met in person, and it was more meeting her in person that made me feel like, oh, this is the role for you, and you're so right for Destiny. And she's so smart and sensitive and fun. And we talked so much about those themes of loneliness and isolation and sisterhood and camaraderie. Mm. And we hung out a lot. She and I hung out the most, probably.
Really?
Yeah, offset. Because I think we had a lot, you know, more time together right. ahead of time. And so, I'm so proud of her. Mm. She really threw herself into something that, you know, I don't know if on paper seemed like the role, you know, but she's, I can't imagine anyone else in this part. I honestly, like, don't know who else would have played this role or had that chemistry with Jennifer in the right way, because.
How did you know when did you know they had the right chemistry?
At the camera test. I mean, I met them separately and just imagined them together and imagined Constance wrapped up in Jennifer's fur coat. You know, that for me was the casting,
that just,
you know.
Literally has so many layers. Literally.
Yeah.
That scene.
Yeah, that was, I felt like, you know, I was casting the locker room for the ensemble. Mm-hmm. That was where I was thinking about all of those women. Right. But when I was thinking of who are Destiny and Ramona, it was just the fur coat scene. Right. So I was thinking, who's wrapped up in her coat, you know, and how does it feel like Mama Bear and Baby Bear? And, you know, and so seeing that, you know, that was the first scene I wrote and the last scene we shot.
Right.
So, but I didn't see them together until the camera test, and Jennifer had her fur coat on and Constance walked
over. That was the camera test moment.
Jennifer put her arm around Constance and I, you know, got chills. Yeah.
I want to see that camera test.
Oh, where it's beautiful, it? Actually. I'll show you a picture. Because it really was something.
Was there a scene that didn't make it into the film where you're like, you know, that was the scene I wanted in, but...
No.
Yeah.
No. There are such tiny little things on the cutting room floor. I mean, our first assembly was 2 hours and 11 minutes, so there were certainly more scenes within the scenes, but it's not like something got...
Right.
Lifted out I'm not mourning anything.
And then you round out the cast, Lily Reinhart.
Yes.
Riverdale.
Yeah.
What in your mind said, that woman from Riverdale should be a stripper in my movie?
I had seen other films that she had done, some indie films that she had done, and seen her dramatic work as well. And she just is another person. She's just got chops. She just has real chops. She's incredibly funny. She played a character that's so strange, you know, which I think is so fun to see someone who you've certainly known for this like teen idol show. But I'm just a fan, and I'm excited for her fans to see it too, because I think
it's a different side of her.
It's a different side of her, and I really do feel like she's such a star that I feel like very lucky that we got her in this supporting role before she has a very long career.
And then you fill it out with Lizzo, Cardi B, another one of my favorites, Trace Lissette.
Yes.
And I talked to her about it.
Yeah.
And she said, you know what? It wasn't cast as a trans woman. I was just cast.
That's right.
Tell me about that.
Trace tweeted at me.
Yeah?
She tweeted at me maybe a year and a half ago and said that she had danced at a club I'm not allowed to mention by name, but that she had danced there in 2006. And I'm a fan of hers, so I just wanted to meet. And we met for lunch and we hit it off, and I just love her so much. And so I wrote her this role, and I'm just so glad she wanted to do it.
I love it. Okay, last question. What's the one movie you could watch over and over again? That, you know, you're sitting at home, you're chilling on the couch, it comes on TV, it comes on a streamer, and you're like, yep, I could watch it again.
I can watch so many movies.
But just one.
Oh, Clueless.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I miss the 90s. I mean, you know, there's probably bad reasons. You know, the 90s wasn't all great, but I miss the...
And talk about, you know, female empowerment.
Yeah, I mean, and it was such a... It was also a story where you're talking about a character that maybe people wouldn't understand,
right,
or would judge also right out of the gate, you know, mm-hmm. a stuck-up... you know,
woman of
Beverly
privilege.
Hills, woman of privilege, exactly. But there's so much heart there, and I love her father, and I love the relationship with the friends, and it just brings me joy. I mean, if we're on a desert island, for sure, yeah.
And how are you dealing with all the talk about Oscar nominations? See, I'm not even looking at you.
I won't look at you again. I don't know. That's gravy. That's wild.
That's good, right? That's tasty gravy.
It's, yeah, I'll take it. I'll drink it up, but it still is, that's very nice, obviously.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Like I said, I walked out of that movie. My only sad thing is I didn't see it with my husband because I had to see it for the junket and he couldn't come.
Will you go back?
100,000%. He is going to flip for this movie.
Oh, great. Oh, thank you.
Thank you again.
Hope so.
Thanks
so much.
That was Laureen Scafaria, the writer and director of Hustlers. Thanks for listening to this week's The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Coming up next week, up close and personal with Renee Zellweger, star of the upcoming Judy Garland biopic, Judy. Renee talks about becoming Judy Garland, singing with Sam Smith, and a whole lot more. Catch Renee Zellweger on The Big Ticket next week. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter and Instagram @Mark Malkin. See you next week.